Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 166 for December 5th, 2020, Blockchain Madness. Who Be Hitting. I'm joined this evening by Devin Rizzo. How are you this evening?
I'm here.
That's always a good first step. So, you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. Is this the first time we've done this since Thanksgiving?
It is. So we are now We are now in the slow period between Thanksgiving and CES. So not a lot to talk about, but we got a few fun things. And then next episode is going to be the pick of the are basically like top picks of the year. So those are always fun. So how many more weeks until your Christmas break?
I don't get a Christmas break.
Oh, you're a new employee. I'm so sorry.
It's not even a new employee. I think we get like 2 days total.
Well, you will eventually get PTO built up, and then you can take Christmas break.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to stay at work until the 23rd, and then they want us back on the 27th.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not even sure how much of a break we get, because Christmas is on a Saturday. Like, I think they might want us to come in on Monday.
No. Like,
I don't actually think we get a break. It's just a weekend, and oh, hey, Christmas happens.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, I miss academia right now.
Oh, man. I work until the 17th, and then I don't go back to work until the 10th of January.
Yeah, you suck. And so, I know we don't get anything for New Year's because it's also on a Saturday.
Oh. Ouch. I'm sorry. That's one of the benefits of like academia is you don't get paid as much. I don't get paid as much as my friends in private industry, but I do get copious amounts of time off. So I don't get, I don't make enough money to afford a fancy Tesla right now, but you know. Hey, bud. Sorry, my mom's been visiting this weekend, and my cat is really happy for the snuggle time because like he's just like not super comfortable around other people unless they've been there for a couple of days. So we haven't had any kind of like nap time together in the last couple of days, and he is just the happiest cat to be in my arms right now. All right, so let's go ahead and start rolling through the kind of getting into the Christmas spirit. Google has announced a plethora of end of the year features for Android. I would say it's Pixel, but it's actually Android. It comes to multiple Android devices. So obviously, if you're a Pixel owner, you'll probably get these first because it's the purest Google experience. So in the blog post, they announced that there are going to be a bunch of new widgets with a new material you design, including YouTube. YouTube Music, Google Play Books, because that's still a product, which surprises me, and Google Photos. So I am still constantly surprised Google Play Books is a thing.
I thought that got killed a while ago.
Oh, no, it still exists.
Okay. Like Stadia, it exists even though it shouldn't.
There's a new family bell feature that you can set a reminder, I guess, and send it to different family members. Is that how I understand it?
I think so.
I guess, is that like part of like the Google Assistant like telecom feature?
I think so.
Cool. Google Photos is getting that little widget that like the iPhone has had from Google Photos for a while. It's actually pretty good at displaying your photos. So they have like festive memories now. So Google Photos will make like little memories now based around like different holidays now, which is kind of cool. Apple Photos introduced that I think last year or maybe this year. And that's been a really cool feature. Let's see. There's an enhancement to Android Auto. Basically, you can reply to a message with a tap, including some of the auto, like auto reply stuff. So instead of just reading it off, you can tap like on my way or some basic other stuff if you're using Android Auto. You can now use Pixel phones and Samsung phones as car keys. So if you have a Pixel 6, Pixel 6 Pro, or Galaxy S21, you can, and a compatible BMW, you can use your phone as a car key now. So
only if you have a BMW.
Yeah, I mean, but Apple Car Key is kind of the same way. BMW adopted that standard really quickly. So, if you're a BMW user and you want to use your phone as a car key, the world is your oyster. For everybody else, you're gonna have to wait a couple of years. So, all right. You get notifications when app permissions have been removed, which I think is probably a good thing, because like I kind of like the idea of it, because like sometimes like iOS will remove it and then just like not tell you, and you're like, why is this not working?
I see, like, okay, it's nice from a privacy standpoint, but at the same time it has broken so many things.
That's the problem of Android, is like it, whenever they make security changes, it takes a longer time for apps to like pivot to the new format.
Mm-hmm. Like Android 12 broke my smartwatch.
I'm not surprised.
Really? Like, and like for a week I could not use my smartwatch at all, because and I didn't realize it, because it was a security permission taken away from the Galaxy Watch app that wouldn't allow it to share data to my watch. And I was like, really? That is the entire point of this thing.
That's a Samsung problem. Samsung should have mitigated against that.
I mean, yes. Yes, they should have. But still.
Nah, I mean, sorry. I mean, Samsung's like a tier one supporter of Android. They should have done that. So, if it were like, oh, hey, we're like Pocket Cast, but We're even smaller than Pocket Cast, like this, like a one person developer house, I would have been like, okay, yeah, I can understand that being a little slow to respond to stuff, but there's no excuse for Samsung. They really need like day one support. They make so much money. They need to hire more developers.
Yeah, it was kind of cringy.
There are more emoji kitchen combinations. So you can, like, you know, like, make your own emojis with these, like, custom emojis, which I think is really cool from what I've seen. I just, it's neat. I just don't know any phone that supports it other than Pixel phones, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was a cool Pixel feature, so. Those are just some end-of-the-year drops for Google devices. The locked folder. It's now rolling out to more Android devices, you know, to hide puppy photos.
Yeah.
Yep, hide those puppy photos.
Don't trust your puppy photos with. don't trust your puppy photos with Google.
Why?
Just don't trust your puppy photos with Google.
I mean, if I got a puppy, I would back my puppy photos right up into Google Photos.
Well, those puppy photos are fine. The other puppy photos, don't put them on the cloud.
Probably for the best.
Like, just nobody needs to see. Like, can you imagine that kind of puppy being up in the cloud and then poof in the kitchen on your Google Home Hub?
Yeah, just,
Maybe photos in the cloud.
Maybe tell your Android phone to not back up that folder on your phone, because you can also do that. You can also be like, hey, stuff in this photo, you know, folder, don't back that up to Google Photos. That's also another option. Just never put it in the cloud.
Yeah. Fun times.
So, but I guess it's such an issue, Google felt like they needed to engineer that. So, you know, for those who need their puppy photos in the cloud, Google's there. Google's got your back.
Yeah.
So, Nest doorbells?
They will sound a little more Christmassy right now. And there are several holiday ringtones available. So when someone comes and rings on your bell, rings on your house, you've got Hanukkah stuff, Christmas stuff, Kwanzaa stuff, generic winter.
Cool. Sorry.
I like how inclusive it was, including multiple, like, holiday celebrations. That's nice.
Yeah, that's very cool.
They also have New Year's stuff.
Yeah, they got New Year's stuff, and they've also did Halloween stuff earlier in the year. Yeah, singing doorbells were on the South Park After COVID special. So it's like, this is the future, every doorbell sings.
Mm-hmm. And all of these are available, all these seasonal themes are available until January 5th.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very cool. So, we normally don't cover rumors, but this is like a pseudo rumor.
Pseudo rumor, it's happening. Maybe we'll see it at I.O. this year, even though I kind of highly doubt it.
I bet you will see it at I.O. I don't think we'll see it at CES.
We'll see it at I.O., but it'll be released in like 2 years.
I bet you will see it in I.O., but then it'll be released in the One Watch will be released in October, and then the next version of Wear of Us will come out in 2 years to all the other watches.
It will be Wear, not Wear of Us, remember?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Google branding.
Yay, Google branding, but the Pixel Watch that was promised to us in I.O. of, what, 2015, 16?
No, it never got officially announced.
Okay, it was hinted at very strongly a while ago.
Google's been working on the Pixel Watch for a long time, so we
like finally they have flat out said there would be a Pixel Watch.
Did they?
Yes, they did. They flat out said it at I.O. a while ago. I want to say this was in 2016, because remember the LG Watch Sport and Style,
mm-hmm.
which were supposedly part of the Pixel brand?
Yeah, but they never officially, I don't think they officially said that they were coming out with a watch. We've had heavy rumors for years.
No, I'm pretty sure they flat out said there would be a Pixel Watch back in 2016.
I'm going to need you to do some more research and get back to us on that. So, anyway, so what's up with this new rumor? So the code name is Ronan?
Rohan. Rohan.
Yeah, Rohan.
Isn't that from, like, The Witcher, or...
No, that's from
Skyrim?
No, that's from Lord of the Rings. That's the Kingdom of Rohan.
Right.
The Kingdom of the Horse Lords.
Right. That makes sense. You know you're into fantasy when you get magical kingdoms mixed up.
I'm currently listening to The Return of the King, so it's very prescient on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rohan is going to be from the Google Pixel hardware group, separate from Fitbit, actually. Interesting. So, it's not really? Actually a Fitbit production. Mm-hmm. So, apparently, weird. Okay, so they're going to still have the separate the Google Fit feature. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So, it probably won't be as powerful as, like, a Fitbit, but, I mean, that's probably fine, right? I mean, they just bought a competing fitness company to compete against their own internal fitness watch, but, you know.
Is this the fruit of the labor of the Fossil hardware group that they bought, like, 2 years ago?
I think it's just, like, the continued evolution of them buying that group, plus just that there's some people wanting a generic, non-Samsungified Wear OS watch. Plus, they're Google, so they still want, like, they want, like, Google Fit to, like, be a platform standard service that, like, Fossil and all the other watchmakers get access to without each watchmaker having to, like, build their own, like, Apple Fitness Plus competitor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, anyway. So, maybe later this year, the rumored Pixel Watch. Because, that Samsung watch, it still doesn't have Google Assistant. It's still stuck with Bixby.
Yeah, which you probably promptly disabled.
What happens when you hit the Bixby button?
Nothing.
Is it just a dead button now? Oh, that sucks. That would bother me a lot. Just to have a dead button on my watch. So, anyway, hopefully Rohan is cool. There were some leaks about Rohan. Looks like it's going to be round and bezel-less. From the leaks, it looks super thin.
How do they have, like, all the sensors and stuff in there? I am concerned, but, like, this could also just be a mock-up of the screen.
Or it could simply be, like, imagining. Because, like, even my Apple Watch my Apple Watch is, like, twice as thick as that, so I would be really surprised if these leaks, with how thin it is, are true. So, We shall see. But anyway, looks like it's a rounded display with a digital crown, a singular button, a digital crown on the right-hand side. It looks like you can twist it. Which, I love twisty digital crowns because they're great fidget toys.
All right.
So, rolling into Microsoft land.
So, apparently, Microsoft's starting to roll out the Office UI to users this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's supposed to match visual changes to Windows 11.
Yes. They've also rolled out the Windows Store with the same visual, which always throws me when I'm on a Windows 10 machine. And then the new store launches, and my brain for like half a second panics and go, oh no, did this machine accidentally update to Windows 11? Which is not a big deal. But it meant more that like my Intune policy wasn't applying. Yeah.
See, now I'm actually genuinely curious now. Like, I don't know anyone that uses Windows 11 for anything. I know a couple like geeks that are like beta testing it on like on side machines, but like that's it.
It's more of a it's a consumer operating system. That's how we're viewing it at work right now. So we're waiting for, like, the equivalent of, like, Service Pack 1 before people start rolling it out in earnest. We're still in the testing phases for Windows 11. So, we have, I know, like, we've had some professors bring it in on their personal devices, and then, of course, students have it as well. But it's not a big enough change over Windows 10 for us to go through all of the work to teach people how to go through all the changes quite yet. So I'm probably going to unleash the lock on my own couple of units that I support and kind of let it start leaking out naturally, because I mainly support Surface devices. But like, I just do that because I stay I dog food all the new stuff. So But it's not a huge change over Windows 10, so I don't think people should have a big I just didn't want it to roll out in the middle of the semester and freak people out whenever they were having a bad day. So,
well, I'm actually kind of surprised. Like, now that I'm working like an enterprise, IT people must think that some end users are idiots. Like, I got included in an email like that went out to like everyone in like a bunch of departments saying like, there was a new update to a software that we use. Functionally, it is no different. It's just a different UI. But, like, you had to switch to this new update because the old version wasn't going to work on the servers anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, they sent out this huge email detailing step-by-step to remove this icon from your taskbar. Right click, and then with like a screenshot, click the remove from taskbar button with photos. And then, if you would like this to be at your taskbar, hit this button, scroll here, right click, pin to taskbar.
Yeah, Devin, you would be surprised how many people I have to teach how to pin stuff to taskbar, even at my job at a college.
It's just like, really, how big of an idiot do you think these, people are?
It's not that. They're just trying to cut down on the number of help desk tickets that they're going to get.
Okay, but okay, how big of an idiot are you if you don't know how to pin something to the taskbar?
You know how many times a semester I have to teach a professor or a faculty or staff or student how to pin stuff to a taskbar, Devin? A lot.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yep, yep. So if I were your IT department, I would have totally scripted that with PowerShell and just, like, be like, hey, I've swapped out the icon. The only one with the new one. So. Yeah. So anyway, functionally, it's the same. If you're an Office 365 user, obviously, if you're an Office 2021 user, it's going to be a much more significant update, but significant update in terms of feature. So anyway, this matches like the rest of like the new modern Windows look. So
yeah,
a lot of my end users have kind of mentioned it to me in passing, and you know what, it was the biggest non-event ever, because they're like, oh, that's cool, it looks a little bit more modern. And then they're like, is anything different? I'm like, nope. And they're like, okay, cool. And we moved on. So,
see, I personally don't like it when companies do that. Like, if you're going to, and I'm all for making AppBook look more modern, but don't update an app just for UI. If you're going to do that, put the visual changes with the new features. Like, give me new features. Oh, hey, and it looks nicer. Not big update. Yeah.
Office
but
Office is like a service now. So, like, they update it every month or every quarter, kind of like Google Docs or Google Apps do. So, I mean, it's just they're constantly adding features or making UI changes all the time. So, that's just par for the course for this now. They don't do the big monolithic updates anymore.
I miss the big monolithic updates.
I miss, like, the looking forward to the monolithic updates. But as someone who works in enterprise and higher education, it's much easier for people to adapt to, like, minor changes four times a year than it is, oh, hey, this looks completely different, and they've completely changed the ribbon, and they've added, like, 50 new features, and now everything has been moved. So it's a little bit smoother operation these days.
I know. Just that was part of, like, the excitement of, I know there's new stuff. I don't know how to use it. I don't know where it is. Everything I know how to use is gone.
Oh, as a geek, as a geek, I love that. But no, as someone who supports lots of end users, I actually like the continuous update model. So
why is
the
micro wet?
Because probably because your cat slobbered on it.
Probably.
And speaking of continuous changes, the new Windows 11 Insider build has some much needed changes to the taskbar now. So, I mean, again, this is like minor changes, but it's for the good. So, like, now you can choose between having more pinned apps and less recommendations, or you can swap it out and have more recommendations and less pinned apps. So, I think I'm kind of leaning towards the more recommendations myself, because I don't really use a bunch of pinned apps on Windows 11. I search out all of my apps anyway. But I do like the recommendations, because as an Office 365 user, they're actually getting pretty good if you jump between a bunch of different devices like I do. So.
I don't know when I am switching to Windows 11.
Oh, also, if you've got multiple displays, the time will now show up across multiple displays again. They added that in.
Fun.
I mean, Windows 11, you will probably use Windows 11 whenever your applications get swapped over to Windows 11.
Yeah, so summertime, maybe?
Yeah, I think for most places, like, Microsoft is probably going to introduce, like, a number of features rolling into the summer, and then most places are probably going to start evaluating Windows 11 over the summer for enterprise use, and then roll it out this fall.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wish I had a sandbox machine I didn't care about that I could put 11 on, but I don't.
It's nice. I mean, it is Windows 11 that is just a little bit nicer and a little bit more refined. It's not, like, mind-blowing, but, like, everyone that I show it to is like, oh, that looks nice. And they like the new features, so.
Yeah, I think if I put Windows 11 on my personal laptop, I'm pretty sure it would break, like, every single app that I routinely use.
I think it works okay with Creative Cloud and probably the Autodesk Suite. So,
SolidWorks is not a thing.
Oh, is it still not working?
It's not ready. Lego Education said it's not ready.
Oh man, between Apple Silicon processors and Windows 11, Autodesk is like on fire right now because we're having so much trouble with like all the Apple Silicon computers and all the Autodesk applications. It's just, I can't imagine what it's like on the inside of that company.
Yeah, I was like, nothing works, and we can't tell you. We can tell you why. Just don't upgrade your machine or buy a new one.
Man, but I mean, I don't even feel bad for them, because like Apple and Microsoft have been like telling them to make these changes for years and years and years. Apple's like, hey, you should probably start, you know, writing to Metal and not your weird goofy own APIs. Hey, Metal's really cool. You get a lot more performance for free out of Metal.
Yeah.
So,
like, I imagine they got, like, Windows 11 a while ago to mess with, but it is not stable.
I mean, they probably got it months ahead of time. I mean,
yeah, they probably got it a long time ago to get their apps working, but nothing works on Windows 11 yet.
Well, and then I don't have a lot of sympathy for them, so because like they're really bad about like keeping their apps up to date with like the most modern stuff. I mean, Adobe's getting better about that. Like every upgrade is less traumatic, but I mean, even Adobe, a company as good as them, is just, I'm just like, come on, what are you doing? All right, so random fun fact is 20%, which this number blew my mind, 20% of Xbox Cloud gaming players only use touch controls, which is kind of wild. So, but then again, I think it's kind of cool that if for certain games like Minecraft Dungeons, like they have custom touch controls, so I think that's better. But yeah, I was actually really surprised by that. I still want to low-key buy Minecraft Dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fun.
These giant banner ads from Facebook are just very large.
Oh, I have an ad blocker on. That's why I... I guess that's why I don't...
That's why it's bothering me!
What?
Normally I don't notice it because I forgot I have an ad blocker on... I'm not on my main laptop right now.
That would probably do it. I recommend Ghostery.
I have Ghostery on my other laptop. Why did it not? I'm logged into Chrome. Why did this not work?
Ghostery. Well, if Ghostery had any changes, you probably forgot to approve them.
Yeah, the banner ads on The Verge are very large.
They're aggressive some days.
And I don't normally notice them because my laptop has ad blockers.
I'm actually happy that Ghostery updated their extension to work on the iPhone or the iPad now. So, because in iOS 15, Apple allows Safari extensions to run on the iPhone and the iPad natively now. So the LastPass extension is chef's kiss. Excellent. All right, last story at Microsoft Teams land. Microsoft now has a new SKU of Microsoft Teams called Microsoft Teams Essentials to basically be a Zoom competitor. So it's built for small businesses. So it is priced at $4 per person per month. So it includes chat, calendar, and video calls. You can do unlimited video calls for up to 30 hours. You do have slightly less storage. You get like 10 gigs of OneDrive storage for like attachments. But to compare this to like Zoom Pro, which businesses pay for, Zoom Pro is like $15 a month. So this is a third of the price of Zoom. So
that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really designed for like small businesses, but you can get it for $4 a month if you want to use that. It gives you the video call and the chat feature. So you don't get any of the actual, you don't get like the Teams functionality of Teams, but like some people just use chat and video calls.
I would pay for this. I don't mind Teams calls or chat. That's perfectly fine. All the other Teams features that I hate, I don't want, and I don't want to pay for. But this is actually something I would actually actively look at buying.
Yeah, I mean, this is the core functionality that most people use. And that's the neat thing about it, is you can pair it up and pair it down. So for demo purposes, I have lots of icons on my Teams, but most of my people, I show them how to pair Teams down to just like, the couple of apps that they use. So yeah, so thought that was pretty cool. So all right, so in some gaming news, Pokemon Go
is not relevant anymore.
Millions of people play Pokemon Go every single day. Definitely a lot of people still play this game. So anyway, if you got an iPhone 13 Pro, you can now turn on 120Hz refresh rate. So if you have a 13 Pro or 13 Pro Max, your Pokemon refresh rate can be as smooth as Pikachu's bottom. Anyway, I thought it was cool. You can now do 100 promotion video games on the iPhone. So that's not super well known right now. So, let's see, Paper Mario is now part of Nintendo Switch Online, if you pay for the N64 games. Have you paid for the expansion pack?
I have not. I pay for online, but I have yet to play an N64 game.
I will probably get it next year. Whenever you can get the N64 controllers. but they're completely sold out until next year. So maybe, you know, I mean, maybe after whatever those local controllers came out. So,
but yeah, I have no interest in it at all.
I mean, it's the Nintendo console. I really grew up with. I mean, I was a little kid with the Super Nintendo, but the Nintendo 64 was the game console that I definitely grew up with. So, ooh, yeah.
All right, so I am a fan of Rocket League. I'm actually pretty good at Rocket League. They now have a mobile app called Sideswipe, which is just a mobile version of the game. It started rolling out in Oceania almost a month ago, and it's now available worldwide, though it is in preseason mode. And season one's kickoff has not been announced yet. It is free to play, and it's played in 2D rather than 3D.
Oh, interesting. Huh. I'm downloading it now. So, where can you actually play it? We'll get it.
Google Play Store / App Store.
Okay. Oh, and the Galaxy Store too, and the Epic Game Store. Because you know, Android has all the game stores. Cool. All right.
It's interesting. It's 2 per side versus 3 per side.
I wonder if that's a mobile restriction, or I guess maybe whenever they rejiggered the game for 2D, it probably made it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I can imagine 3 people on a 2D plane being difficult to keep up with. Nice. I've never actually played Rocket League. Is it on the Switch?
Yeah, wait, no, it's not.
What are you playing on?
PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay. I have a PlayStation 5. I can do that. Oh, no, Rocket League is available on the Switch now.
It is?
Yep. Came out November 14th, 2017.
I did not know that. Is it free for the Switch?
Yeah, it's free.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can do up to 8 players. TV mode, tabletop mode, and handheld mode.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. That little accessory called the Luna Display recently got an update that lets you use a Mac as a second monitor for your Windows PC.
Fun.
Yeah, so if you, you know, the Luna Display is like this little physical adapter that you like a little physical dongle that like turns different computers into wireless displays. So like Apple has some built-in technology to do this, but you kind of have to be like in Apple's ecosystem. So Luna Display works across multiple platforms. So the hardware itself is $130, and it works with Macs or PCs, and then also USB-C, HDMI, or mini DisplayPort dongle as well. So it basically lets you turn another PC into a high refresh rate external monitor for your Mac or PC.
Fun.
Yeah. So actually something you may be interested in. It seems like it's right up your alley.
It is. It really is.
All right. Speaking of right up your alley, will you be buying a Cyber Quad?
Why? I'm not a kid. I don't think I fit.
I don't know. I don't think I would fit either. So Tesla has announced a all-electric Cyber Quad, a four-wheeler for children.
This is such a great idea. Like, all, like, Tesla owners with kids are going to buy this.
I mean, I could also
see. It's a $2,000 ATV for kids. It looks like a Cybertruck.
There is an LED light bar to complete the Cybertruck aesthetic. The battery will power up to 15 miles of range.
Which is 10 miles an hour.
Oh, well, you can do up to, so you can also limit it if you want to. So if you want to limit it to just 5 miles an hour, you can do that. Or you can set it to 10, or it will go 5 miles in reverse. So it takes 5 hours to charge. Okay, yeah. it's shipping now, though, if you want to go ahead and order one.
This is awesome. And I guarantee you some dads who pre-ordered the Cybertruck for themselves are going to give the Cyber Quad to their kids for Christmas this year.
I want the full size.
Yes. But, like, even if you bought that now, you wouldn't get it for another, like, 2-3 years.
I so want that. I don't know. Part of me is starting to warm up to the Cybertruck aesthetic. So, I have a family member who was a jerk to me about my love of Tesla, and then I realized that, you know, he's a big truck guy, and, you know, I was looking at the dimensions of the Cybertruck, I'm like, huh, interesting. Cybertruck is a bigger truck than his truck is, and it weighs more than his truck does, and it can totally pull his truck, and that was 2 years ago with the dual motor option. And they just announced quad motor option and crab walking on the Cybertruck. So, like, would I buy a truck just to upstage a member of my family who's being a jerk to me about EVs?
You should.
Oh, how great would it be? And with the Cybertruck, you don't have that problem that you do with the Model 3 with, like, people, like, parking in, supercharger stations. Because, like, just keep a like a chain in the back of your Cybertruck. That thing is so heavy, you could just pull the truck out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the Model 3 is heavier. I mean, it's pretty heavy. It has a low center of gravity, so I think the average Model 3 can pull, like, a Ford F-150 out of a parking spot, if you really need to. You just want to probably, you know, if you were in an open carry state, just be careful.
Yeah. I know plenty of guys in Texas that would go to war if someone touched their F-150.
I'm sorry, I love the video of the Cybertruck just pulling the Ford F-150 up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, it fills me with a much delight. So, anyway, Cyber Quad for kids. Eventually, maybe we'll get one for adults, because I like four-wheelers. They're fun.
They are.
And dangerous, but fun.
If you are a camera enthusiast, Sony's Airpeak S1 drone is now available to order for only $9,000. It has a 22-minute flight time, or 12 minutes with a heavy payload such as a Sony A7S Mark III camera.
Apparently it says Airpeak is, it can be stable and winds up to 44, about 45 miles per hour.
So this is just the drone. It does not come with a camera or a gimbal.
So I guess this is the drone you would use to, like, shoot movie footage with.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, not even. Because are you gonna shoot movie footage on a Sony camera?
I think so, yeah. Electronic like cinematic quality cameras. Not everyone uses Red.
I hear everyone uses Red.
I think that's just like tech YouTube and YouTube in general. So I think, from my understanding, is Red fits in between like it's at the lower end of high end video production. If it feels like a good niche.
Mm-hmm.
Like before you start getting stupid expensive, like, you know what I mean?
Because we're not classifying red as stupid expensive.
I mean, it's expensive, but like, you know what I mean? It's like a camera that you would use for high-end YouTube production or like, you know what I mean? Like maybe TV shows and stuff like that, but like a Marvel movie. I don't know if they shoot those on red. Maybe the high-end reds.
Whatever happened to the red phone?
Let us not. Oh, actually, there's some movies. Book of Eli was shot on red. Mr. Robot was shot on a red. Let's see. I wish I had a link to more. Oh, Stranger Things. Yeah, so like red is really popular in TV.
Yeah.
Movies, on the other hand, it's still kind of new.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anyway. yeah. So, oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying? What was your last question?
What happened to the red phone?
It died a horrific death because it was a terrible, terrible product. And there has been no future reference. I think it was like declared one of the worst phones of all time. Because of its display.
Fair enough.
I like the design. I just, if they didn't have a goofy display, and I love the idea of the camera. I love the idea. I don't know what was with that weird 3D phone part of it.
Does anybody know?
I don't know. I would like a return of the red phone if it had a super high-end camera, but...
Which, you know, would make sense considering it's red.
Yeah, like, and like swappable accessories like flash or like camera grips or
it said it was gonna have swappable accessories.
Yeah, but then the product died, so no accessories were made. So I would love a red camera with just a Samsung display and a really high-end camera system. I think that would be super cool.
All right, back down into the land of consumer available products. If you like e-readers, Barnes & Noble has made a new one called the Nook Glow Light 4, which is only $150.
I've always liked the Nook. So I've actually kind of preferred the Nook to the Kindle, to be honest with you.
Really? Why so?
I like the overall design of like the physical. I feel like the Nook has always been like a more friendly, it's like rounded device, and it's always felt like just a little bit better put together. And I've always liked the software on it a little bit more than like Kindle's like very utilitarian, but like you can tell like the Nook is still like utilitarian, but like it still has like a little bit more design flair to it. It took the Kindle a very, very, very long time to get caught up to like how nice the Nook looked. So I've always had a soft spot for the Nook. So I felt like it was always like physically and the software was just always more nicely designed. I just always knew that like Amazon is a behemoth and would crush the tiny, tiny company called Nook, so I never bought one. But no, I've just always liked the hardware and software on it a bunch, especially like the mobile apps. I always thought they were just really nicely designed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I found it more comfortable in the hand when playing with it in the store.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of e-readers.
Really? I'm surprised. I figured you'd like them because you like reading so much.
I love reading. But I prefer physical books. Or audiobooks.
I like e-readers. I use the iPad to do reading for like paperback books. But like, I prefer physical books too. Like, I go back and forth. I prefer physical books still.
No, like, I'm that person that, despite all of the tech gear that I take with me when I travel, I still bring a physical book.
I use e-readers, well, not e-readers, but, like, an iPad for, like, documentation all the time. Like, I love an iPad for, like, documentation. But, yeah, I still like the physical book and the smell of the book and all of that. And I like collecting books too. So
yeah, like for me, like I'm on devices and screens 20 hours a day. Mm. If I'm trying to sit down into a book, I want to relax and get away from the world.
And not have any possibility of a Slack notification or email notification disturbing
that,
you.
Or if I'm on my tablet, because I don't put games on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on my tablet, I don't have the discipline to say I'm sitting down to read a book, not play Rocket League Sideswipe.
Yeah, see.
And I don't want yet another device to go in my bag. Just for reading. I'd rather just stick a book in there.
For me, I guess that's why like I find the iPad Mini appealing. I really love that size for reading. And I've always not ordered the iPad Mini because of that same problem of being distracted. But with like focus modes now, like I have focus modes triggered when I like read RSS news now. And like focus modes is good enough that, like, in terms of turning an iPad into, like, an e-reader, that, like, I've been reading a book, like, an Apple book or, like, some Feedly news, and I've had you send me, like, 5 different notifications and not gotten any of them. You know, I mean, just regularly, like, it does a really great job of, like, if you want to turn an Apple device into an e-reader, focus the like reading mode, like hey, I'm reading books mode. It's like actually really good for that kind of stuff, and you can trigger it based off of application launching now.
Maybe so. If I had an iPad, but like I don't know, like it doesn't in my life, it just doesn't make sense to have a dedicated device for reading when we've had a dedicated device for reading that doesn't include push notifications since before Christ.
Yeah, that's always why I've been...
I don't have to charge my book.
The iPad is a multifunction device, and that's why the iPad Mini is appealing to me for reading, but that's why I haven't purchased Kindle. So, I feel like I would just never bring the Kindle with me, because I would have to charge it, so...
Well, see, that's my thing, too. Like, whenever I travel, it's 2 or 3 laptops, plus my tablet, plus the GoPros, plus the cameras, plus the phones, plus the battery packs. And oh hey, let me squeeze another device and charger in this already overstuffed bag.
That if I drop it,
my life will be over. And oh hey, if I'm flying, TSA already wants to kill me. Let's just make it worse.
Yes. So actually,
I'm not a fan of e-readers for that reason.
I want to say I'm not a fan. They're not for me.
They're great for other people, and I love that they
exist. Oh, my grandmother loves her Kindle. She burns that thing up all the time. But, like, you know, I just... yeah.
E-readers are not for techies.
I don't need a bespoke reading device. I like multifunction devices, typically, so...
Exactly. But if you do like e-readers, this one is available... for $150 and is now USB-C.
Oh, nice. I thought this was cool. CVS Pharmacies has now spoken prescription labels.
That is so, very nice.
Using its smartphone app, patients can have the labels read out loud in English or Spanish.
Very nice.
Yeah, so built for people who are blind or low vision, so which is that could be a lot of us. Mm-hmm. Particularly me without my glasses.
Yeah.
All right. Reddit is now adding real-time features, including a live upvote count, and you'll actually see typing indicators too.
Nice.
Yeah. Starting off on the mobile app, and then it will roll out globally to the desktop app starting actually last week, if you have the newer Reddit design, which at what point is it just going to be the Reddit design? Because hasn't the new Reddit design been out for like 5 years now?
Like, I think so.
I don't know when they're just gonna like do the cutover.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Why it's taking so long. Quest.
So yeah, apparently there's an update which includes cloud backups and mixed reality camera mode.
So what does that mean exactly?
So it's not what I thought it was. Oh. Wait. What? I am actually confused as to what this does. Yeah, I'm confused here.
Okay, the mixed reality camera basically lets you, it'll superimpose the gameplay footage. Basically, you can point your phone at somebody and record them playing VR, and it superimposes them on top of the game itself. So, like, the example they're showing is, like, what do you call it? What's the QB slash game?
Beat Saber.
Yeah, it's like Beat Saber, and you can see the person playing it with their headset on, but they're, like, in the game. So, it'll produce GIFs for you, but basically you'll be able to see yourself in games like Beat Saber, Pistol Whip, Super Hot, and Sith Riders. So, it's just six at this time, but they want they're opening up to more developers. So, you'll need an iPhone XS or newer, running iOS 11 or higher, and it also supports Android phones as well.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so you can, in the future, have people record you play a video game, I mean, a VR game, and it actually not look, you know, I mean, you can see what game they're actually playing instead of it just looking like someone wildly waving their hands in the air.
Fair enough. Like, I mean, if you have the Oculus app on, like, your iPad or in the Oculus app and on a phone, you can connect it and watch it. But, like, it's very dizzying. Because, like, as the player moves their head, your screen moves around, and it's not very fun.
I think this would be fun for, like, streamers.
This might be actually better, because, like, if you're just watching the raw, like, VR data, it's very dizzying.
Yeah, or, I mean, it's one of those, like, your brain's trying to, like, okay, in one eye, I'm on one screen, I'm seeing them wave their hands, on the other one, I'm seeing the actual footage, and it's hard to for your brain to really reconcile that.
Yeah. But VR is still just very weird. Every time I play, it's like, it's so great, and then I'm done. And I'm always dizzy for a good 30 minutes when I come back into reality.
Maybe one day I will purchase these.
VR is so much fun.
I'm on Oculus's website right now looking at the holiday guide.
Well, if you ever come and visit me in Texas, I will let you borrow it.
Nice.
All right. So,
wrong number.
I'm pretty sure everyone has heard of this. What, like 5 or 6 years ago, some lady texted the wrong number saying details about her Thanksgiving dinner, and Wanda and Jamal, and Jamal was like, it's wrong number, and she didn't understand it until she sent her she sent Jamal a selfie, he sent her one. It was like, oh, you're not my grandkid. And he's like, can I still come over for a plate? Apparently he didn't have any plans, and he did. And he's just been coming over every single year for us, like, 7 years. And, like, it's even come to, like, where his girlfriend and now fiancé is coming over for Thanksgiving. And now it's being turned into a Netflix film.
That's funny. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Like,
that's very wholesome.
Shout out to Wanda for just, like, inviting this random dude to come over for Thanksgiving. All right. Jack Dorsey is having a midlife crisis or something.
He's having a moment.
Is he having a moment or is he having a block? A mental block, maybe? Identity crisis within his companies. But Jack Dorsey is no longer in charge of Twitter.
So now he's just in charge of one company. Because it's always been incredibly questionable, like, how much time Jack spent actually at Twitter.
So he is also in charge of Square, you know, the fintech company that makes the Square-like checkout devices, which is also the parent company for Cash App and Tidal.
Because Tidal.
Because Cash App makes sense. It's fintech, but Tidal is a music streaming service. But Jack Dorsey is a longtime fan of blockchain. And,
because who isn't a Web3 bro?
Exactly. So Jack has changed the company of Square to Block.
Could you say that, Block employees are blockheads?
Yeah, you could.
So, the new company is going to be really into blockchain.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, he's obsessed with Bitcoin. And, yeah, Jack Dorsey's now in charge of blocks. Block?
Yeah.
Block. Are you one thing saying it's blocks? But it's block. And this was announced just 2 days after Dorsey announced that he was resigning as CEO of Twitter.
Yeah, people have been after his head for a while now over his leadership at Twitter. So, it's about time. To me, this seems like a strategic exit before things got real ugly.
And then it is also a month to the day after Facebook changes his name to Meta.
Well, there was an article on The Verge about, like, all of these companies, like social media companies, like, all of their CEOs are just like, peace out.
Well, okay. And, maybe Facebook. This is a good thing. Like, social media is just weird right now.
Do you want to come up?
Like, sorry, Instagram is owned by Facebook. There's Facebook, which sucks. TikTok, which has its own issues because it's Chinese made. Twitter is awesome. Reddit is full of toxic tech bros. Like, social media is weird right now.
Yeah.
And it is time for a wide step down of founders.
Because, I mean, sometimes a founder isn't the best person to run a large company. They're two different skill sets. Like,
and brain on all these people who are like, hey, I have this idea, let's make it a thing. And it's now a thing. But, like, your job is done.
But running a huge company is a completely different beast than it is running a small startup.
Yeah, after, like, it's beyond a small startup, like, your job is more like on the board of directors to oversee that the company stays what your mission was, not trying to run this huge company. That's not what you set out to do.
Like, arguably, like, Tim Cook does a better job at running Apple than Steve Jobs did at this size, but I don't think Tim Cook would have been nearly as good as a startup person as Steve Jobs was. Exactly. I feel like Apple's the perfect example.
Different skill sets.
Yeah, like Steve Jobs may have been able to pivot Apple into being this big, but I don't know. Tim Cook has done a pretty good job at, because he doesn't run it like a startup. And I feel like Zuckerberg and Dorsey forget that, these companies aren't like little teeny tiny, like 15 person, these companies are no longer like an episode of Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So
Uh-oh. All right, and then last story of the day. It is Christmas time, and homes aren't that much better with RGB Christmas lights and trees and pretty ornaments. But vacuums are a problem. I actually know somebody who personally was the victim of their Roomba knocking over the Christmas tree, and it fell on top of their cat.
Oh, no.
And it woke up the entire family in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
I was there. It was not fun.
Oh. Oh, poor cat.
Yeah, the cat was fine. Like, Christmas trees aren't heavy. But iRobot now has a holiday-themed update for their latest vacuum cleaners. It will use AI to navigate the Christmas tree so that it won't knock over the Christmas tree.
Apparently, it can also avoid shoes and socks as well.
Very nice.
My question is, can it avoid cat toys and dog toys? Because I have a ton of cat toys, and that's what has prevented me from ever buying one. Is
Like, you can pick up the toys every day.
I'm never going to do that.
But, like, what's the point? Because the cat is just going to play with the toys as it sees fits while you're gone all day.
Yes.
Like, and, like, I think all cat owners have found this is like, oh, hey, and you find like a little mousey somewhere, like the most random spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, Pixel must have been playing or something like that. And so you can suggest a clean zone around the tree. Like if you want to pick up pine needles, if you have a live tree, or you can set up a keep out zone. So it just flat out won't bump into the tree and knock it over.
Very cool. Oh, all right. So let's go ahead and roll into our picks of the week. So I think it's your turn to go first, Devin.
All right. And my pick of the week is the Razer Huntsman 3 keyboard. It is a all metal design. It's very, very sturdy. I have the Quiet Keys version because it's my keyboard at work. It's just an all-around solid mechanical keyboard, fully programmable with macros. It's got this like really cool like scroll wheel up at the top to control your audio. Yeah, it's really nice. And I am trying to pull up how much it costs right now.
It's a family of keyboards, right?
Well, there's a family of keyboards, but I have a specific one. Because okay. I've got the Huntsman 2, which is no frills. I have the Huntsman 3, and there's the Mini, which is the small one. I have the 3.
I am struggling to find a link to that one. So it's a Razer RGB keyboard, and yours has the little dial on top. And do you have the full number pad?
Full number pad, because I don't believe in mini keyboards. I am pulling it up on Amazon right now because, yeah. To tell you exactly which one I bought.
I dig the media keys.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that, like, I don't miss, one thing that's made me not miss the touch bar is just having, like, physical media keys on my laptop again with this M1 Pro laptop. I'm just like, oh, that's so nice. I just feel for it. I don't have to, like, look at my keyboard to change the media controls.
Mm-hmm.
I can just, like, absentmindedly mute my laptop or play some pause again. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's... My Amazon history is embarrassingly extensive.
Oh, yeah. Same. I don't want to think about mine. So how much is this Huntsman V3 keyboard?
I am trying to tell you.
Fair enough.
Oh, okay. It is not the Huntsman. It is the Black Widow V3.
Black Widow. I am sorry. Looking at a completely different keyboard.
I'm looking at the wrong family of keyboards.
Okay.
Black
Widow V3 mechanical gaming keyboard. Yeah, this is a completely...
it is $140.
Mm-hmm. Do you get yours in black, camo, or bright pink?
It is in black. Full... And you see the little scroll wheel thing I've got, I was talking about?
Yeah. That's completely different from the Huntsman, which has a dial on it, so...
Yeah, no. It is... It's got a wrist rest if you're into that thing, and mine's still in the box. It's got the Razer yellow switches. And, it's $140.
Nice. One of these days, I will buy the Logitech MX series keyboard. Maybe I'll buy that after Christmas.
And, like, I was very, like, concerned about spending $140 on a keyboard. But I finally realized, when my mouse died, it's like, if it's something I use every day, it doesn't really matter how much it costs.
No, I mean, you use it at work and robots and everything. So, I mean, that is a tool in your utility belt.
And I will just be forever burdened with spending over $100 on a mouse whenever my mouse breaks. But you can get this on Amazon or Best Buy or Razer.com, pretty much anywhere where gaming keyboards are sold.
Very cool. So my pick is much cheaper at $3. It's called Vinegar. It is a vinegar tube cleaner. It's by And a Dinosaur. It is a Mac, iPhone, and iPad app that's really, it's a Safari extension. And what it does is it replaces the YouTube player with a minimal HTML5 video tag. So it removes ads, restores picture-in-picture, and will keep videos playing in the background if you want it to. So, particularly on iOS, like, YouTube has done, like, this goofy thing of, like, they have their own custom code that can be, like, really annoying. Like, when you launch a YouTube video in, like, Safari, it'll be like, hey, do you want to launch the YouTube app? And, like, sometimes you don't want it to do that. And then on iPhones, you still have to have YouTube Premium if you want to do picture-in-picture, which is really annoying. So, like picture-in-picture is just not... Mac OS and iOS and iPad OS all have really excellent picture-in-picture support. And this just makes it super easy. So it basically cleans up the YouTube experience, makes it work a lot more natively, like any other native video. And it just makes it a much nicer experience. And it works across iPhone, iPad, and Mac. So I like it a bunch. it's across all of my machines now. It's totally worth the $3. So.
All right, Hobie, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on all the social things, Medium, Instagram, and Twitter, at Hobie Henning.
All right, and you can find me at DevinJCR on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, wear masks in public, and stay curious.